I want you to put your hands together.
Here goes to the neighborhood.
And welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause.
Here goes to the neighborhood.
All right, welcome back to episode 27 of the Smokescreen Podcast. Back with my co-host James.
Happy to be back with my co-host Chris.
And I'm Happy Gilmore. Jesus Christ. I forgot to think of a fucking name before we started. Anyway, back with the Game of Thrones rewrite for season 8. We did episode 1 last week. People are digging it.
I think
they're enjoying it. So we don't have to go through and explain exactly what we're doing. Go back and check out episode 1. This will be Game of Thrones season 8, episode 2.
Yeah.
And I guess we can do a recap.
Yeah, probably. Are they still going to like it when we take it off the rails?
Oh, it's going way off the rails. This one will be a lot of the same stuff because it was an outstanding episode.
It was.
It really was. And the oddity of season 8 is that episode 2 was one of the best episodes in the history of the whole show.
Right, and it gets swallowed up in all the criticism.
It does, absolutely. So we kept most of it the same, but we added a few things, obviously, that matter to set up things later. And yes. A continuation from last week with the Hal and Reed thing. So I guess...
go ahead and do a recap or whatever you
want to
do.
Yeah, okay, quick recap for episode 1. Go watch it in detail if you want to. And by the way, thank you to our Patreons. I want to say that really quickly. Patrons on Patreon, I should say, for the Smokescreen Podcast that keeps us going.
Yes.
You can watch this or listen to it, I should say, on SoundCloud, Google Play, iTunes, Spotify, and Podbean. Hey, look, I didn't forget again.
No.
And if you're watching this on YouTube, do us a favor and watch all of it if you can, or a lot of it, and share it and like it and subscribe and all that good stuff.
And before we get too deep in it, just for time stamping, when we go back later and watch this again, right now we are in the throes of a coronavirus scare.
Yes.
Kind of, you know, it's crazy. Things have changed a lot at work. Seems to be the most real, scary kind of pandemic type thing of our lifetime, you know?
I think so.
Been a lot of other ones in the past.
We had SARS that was a little more deadly, I think it was, what, a decade ago?
Yeah, bird flu, swine flu.
Yeah. There's been a few, but I think this is the most widespread, I believe, is what they're saying.
And taken most seriously. So, just so when we look back later, we'll say, oh, yeah, that was...
Yeah, during the hopefully everybody's while they're inside and having to social distance.
That's what I'm thinking,
you know,
maybe
podcasts and stuff will do a lot of good. I don't know.
I think so. A little escapism.
Yeah, exactly. So we're not going to talk about the swine flu,
right,
or the coronavirus, or the drink for that matter. We're going to talk Game of Thrones. So anyway,
well, it's always fun to go back to me and hear things that we mention when we go.
Yes,
like. On episode 3, when you go back and listen to it, and I mentioned that I lost my virginity, that's always going to be awesome for me.
Right. Jesus.
Oh, such a bookmark in my life.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm sorry. I will not interrupt again.
No. That's the beauty of this podcast. I don't fucking edit this podcast. It's unedited. That's just why I do it.
That's why I know.
Because I'm laughing the whole time while I've listened to it like 3 times by the time it comes out. So, yes, we release this early on Patreon, we'll do that. But, watch the whole entire episode 1 for all the details. I'll give a quick recap here for episode 1 so you can, you know, for anybody that may have skipped that or whatever. So we had, after John got told about his parentage, his heritage, all that good stuff, in the crypts with Sam, that was essentially the same.
Yeah.
He walks out, but you know, doesn't immediately believe it,
right,
as he shouldn't. He walks out, and this time at the top of the crypts, we have Hal and Reed is here in our story. Hal and Reed is here, ladies and gentlemen.
As we think he should be.
Yes.
We've always said that.
Exactly. It makes no sense that he's not in this show. So Hal and Reed is there, and he says, I think we had him saying something to the effect of, he's right, boy, or something like that, when he was, because Sam's still behind him, like, you know, it's true, John, whatever, I don't believe it. He's at the top with Bran of the stairs at the crypts at the entrance and says something like that. So Hal and Reed's in the story. I did say I had a thing for season 7. There is no dead dragon at this point. There was no Viserion turned to a white dragon or a fucking White Walker dragon. I know people argue about that. So that didn't happen. The wall came down with the magic of the Night King as opposed to a dragon. He touched the ground with all the other White Walkers and broke it like he did the cave because of Bran's mark, so that still matters. So that was the only thing we had from season 7. I know a lot of people say you can't fix season 8 without fixing 6 and 7, and I get all that, but we're just to save time. We're We're just going with it, except for that.
Because honestly, we know you could go back even further.
Yeah,
than
you could go and back and
start tweaking stuff way.
You could start doing hints in episode one of season one, for Christ's sake, for what we're talking about.
That's
so,
right.
For where we're heading. We have so the wall fell by magic instead of the dragon, and then Hallen Reed. Okay, so that's in this episode. We were saying in our preview for this episode something about the symbols, so that will come back into play this episode.
Yeah,
so I had this written down, but we had
were
just
on the same page.
We wasn't. I don't think we were really clear on that. I had somebody ask me on the live stream the other day, wait a minute, did it end with Hallen Reed or did it end with Jamie? It did end with Jamie, but the scene right before that was Hallen Reed, and he just says that.
Yes.
So this episode, we'll get into the symbols a little bit.
Right.
So that's the basic changes. There's a few more little minor things if you want to check it out. So,
and I'll just say this, that, you know, when Chris and I did the prep for this episode too, we were talking – I'm not 100% sure on this, but I feel like these could be good companions to the actual episode.
I think you're right.
Wanted to take the time to actually watch it and maybe pause it at certain spots if you had to, because that's what we did, and it really helped flow and carry the story along what we're trying to do along with the show, and it seemed to fit real. Episode two was a lot of fun for us,
yes,
I thought.
Yes. I think that's a great idea, actually, because we're not, this is the podcast, so we don't edit this and put screenshots in. And we usually go about an hour. I don't know if this one will be, since we're not having to explain the whole thing, but we can't put in screenshots, and I can't, you know, of every single scene to kind of keep everybody, if you've seen it, you'll be able to picture. But like you said, if you watch along with it and pause, you'll really be able to fucking visualize what we're saying.
I think so.
So, yeah, that's a good idea. It's a great idea.
Because you're in the moment.
Yes.
And then as you hear what we're tweaking, you're still in that moment, and it feels like it fits. Weird thing, like I said.
It's almost like we can trick ourselves into it happening this way.
And it flows, yeah. So, seems like what we're actually rewriting.
I mean, honestly, for something like this, I should be editing and putting in screenshots for what we're talking about to visually help or whatever. But it's the podcast.
It wouldn't be such a editing nightmare.
Yes,
I would like for them to see us doing what we did.
I agree.
Watching us watch it, pause, and talk about the story and everything. You know, we're gonna pass that along to you. Don't get us wrong, but it was really fun. I had a lot of fun.
Editing nightmare and a copyright nightmare. So we have to stay. We can't play the audio and shit either. Okay. The only thing I wanted to change that I completely forgot to mention last, and this is for the beginning of the episode as well, because it starts with the Great Hall and all that, we have Jamie.
Yeah.
In the Great Hall.
Yeah.
So the first thing that I had, that I mentioned to you as we were doing, taking our notes for this episode, is I completely forgot to mention, he didn't show up alone.
Right.
He did show up alone in that scene for Bran or whatever, but there were people with him, and specifically Edmure Tully, a handful of leftover Freys, if there are any, and
how cool
from his
this?
House.
How cool would this be, guys?
For River
Think
Run.
About that.
So Edmure Tully is here at Winterfell, too, by the way.
Right.
He just didn't show up in episode six, and like he's been in prison the whole time somewhere.
Right. I love that idea.
So on the way to Winterfell, Jaime stopped by and kind of repaid his debt to him and got him out, whatever. He was still, I'm assuming, in prison somewhere. The twins, I guess it was. It was really unclear if he ever went back to, you know, from River Run to the twins or where he was. So he is back at Winterfell. Him and I'm just saying like 100 people or 50 people, not some big army.
Right.
But a handful of the leftover people came with Jaime to Winterfell. So we're at the Great Hall. We had the note. First note I had here was everything's, the conversations are basically the same, but we're adding a few things.
Yeah.
Dany here, I had the first thing, admits her father was cray cray. Like
I've
she did to John. So it was like, you know, kind of like a repeat of what she told John, and maybe John would actually say this too, because let's just get it all out in the open and stop with the bullshit and the pretending.
Yeah.
You know, let's just say that she acknowledges that, you know,
she grew up hearing the stories about
exactly
him.
And then she was told by Sir Barristan Selmy that it was all true, and she apologizes to House Stark for the sins of House Targaryen against them with the whole thing, and kind of like she did with John alone.
Yeah.
She just needed to be that person.
I agree.
So up to this point, we have her. She's been working out in the field with the men, doing shit really starting to change minds. Mm-hmm. And now she actually says this in the open in the hall. And yeah. Let's just break the tension right now. You know, let's just start, right. You know, start working our way. I think that's all I had for Danny, right? Oh, yes. Jamie tells them about the Golden Company, and we see Varys for a second. This
right.
is important.
Right.
So when he says that Cersei has hired the Golden Company and Euron didn't really go back to the Iron Islands, and he went and picked up the Golden Company, it flashes over to Varys.
So he can
and maybe Jorah.
Right.
That's going to happen, too.
That's what exactly what we were saying. So we maybe Jorah, but we definitely want to see kind of a light bulb moment with Varys.
Yes. So it's just kind of a nonchalant shot. You know, it's not like a...
Exactly.
You know, just a nonchalant shot to maybe Jorah and Varys are hanging out. Maybe they're sitting close to each other like mm-hmm. they should be because they're with Danny's crew. So maybe we rearrange the place a little bit. So that was the next note I had. Are you on the same note, or are you just letting me lead it here?
Well, what happened?
I know
we were doing it. Yeah. I was actually just writing the scenes so I would remember, you know, what scenes were there. But as we kept rewriting things, I let you write it down.
This was the other quote I had for, and this is on the same scene. We'll switch scenes here in a minute. But for Danny and the Jamie thing, because there's a lot of, you know, even though she admits that her father was crazy and she heard the stories from Cerberus and Selmy, she believes him.
Yeah.
It's still her father.
Still.
It's still the king.
Yep.
So it's still regicide. So she says something to the effect of, quote, "You killed my father to save the city, but served your own father that would murder a wife and unknown child at a feast."
Exactly.
So it's kind of a tit for tat, you know, eye for an eye type of statement.
Yeah.
It doesn't let him off the hook completely.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
No. Nope.
So the idea is that, yeah, my father was bad, but your father did this. And so which one is worse? It kind of parallels what Tywin said. Is it worse for me to kill 15 at dinner or 2,000 on the battlefield or whatever?
Yeah. And Sansa still interjects about her dad.
Yes.
He attacked my dad in the streets, you know,
yes.
and all that. So everybody's getting their dads out on the table.
Exactly.
You know?
And so the other stuff is there with Jamie, because Jamie said the right stuff that he needed to in response to these
things. I think so, too.
Left a few things out, I think. I did have that in this same scene, Brienne adds to defend Jamie that he gave half of ice to her to protect the Stark kids, so they acknowledge that they have ice.
I think that's so cool when you said that.
Oathkeeper and it's right there, and they never acknowledged that was just used to be the house ancestral sword of House Stark. So that's important. It's not just she did say that you know he armed me and armored me.
She did,
but she never mentioned. And by the way, he said this would protect the Stark kids. This was ice, by the way.
This was ice.
So that will come back into play. That is actually said now. You know, oh, shit.
Exactly.
He did. You know, it gives a little more detail as to what he did.
It does.
As opposed to...
When nobody was looking.
When nobody
that
was looking.
That says a lot about his character.
Exactly. When nobody was looking. So it's not just a, well, he let me go.
Yep.
Kind of thing. So these small details, I think, is what makes it really more... It really leads up to some good, cool things.
I agree.
So Bran steps up, adds that about ice, and, you know, they have basically two swords now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. We did delete something.
Have that note. Danny scolding Tyrion?
Yeah, we changed it a little bit later, I think. But I think because they walked out of the hall, and it was like, you know, she jumped all over him.
I thought that was unnecessary.
Either a fool or stupid, and he said, I was stupid, I made mistakes and whatever. We just took that out.
Yeah.
Because... it was just unnecessary, and it starts to lead to this, I guess, what it was supposed to.
It was.
Start to lead to, she's going a little
crazy. She's going
crazy.
Mad, yeah.
I don't know, she's kind of losing it over, you know, so
we're not going that direction.
Probably not going that road,
right.
I would say. So we just took that scene out, but I think, well, instead of just deleting it, I think I said something like, she did say, I'm glad you made it out of there alive. Because eventually this does happen anyway.
Yeah.
Jorah says, look, Tyrion tries it. He's a good guy. And she later on says that's when, you know, go to the crypts and stuff. We'll get to all that. But
right.
The point is she does it anyway.
Yeah.
So there's no need for both.
No, there's not.
So
agreed.
We'll just delete that scene. We had Arya and Gendry. I thought that was fine. I didn't have anything there. I don't think we needed to add or change.
No.
I don't think we both.
Because, like, I even wrote down definitely keep in the line. I know death has many faces, and I look forward to seeing
all that good stuff. Such only thing I added line. Was the, when he, she was throwing the dragon glass, let the dude shit his pants or something.
Yeah, the funny. Dude by the post that she's throwing.
I mean, the first one, he just went.
Yeah.
And just stood there and stayed, right. And then he ran off. But just have him flip over the damn rail, shit right. His pants were running. I don't know. Just make it funnier.
Agreed.
But no, the scene was fine. It was flirty. And, you know, she showed off her skill, you know, and got Gendry impressed again and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I loved it. Sets up everything. Like I said, this was a good scene.
Yeah.
This was a good episode.
This was a great episode. Okay, Jaime Brienne scene. This would be, I guess, Jaime Brienne. I said Brienne. I can't read my own writing. So Jaime's out in the Godswood now with Brienne. They have this conversation. Now, you could have told them, and they would have killed me.
Right.
He said, I couldn't let them murder you first, whatever, you know, that type of stuff. So all that still happens. But what we see when Jaime at the very end of this is he walks off because he sees somebody coming. He nods to Bran, walks off, and we see Mira appear in the background. So, yes, Mira did come along with Hal and Reed. She's not going to stay in the neck by herself. So and she's there back.
Totally see that. They needed to have a little reunion.
A little bit different from the ending we saw in 7.
Yeah.
The weird... You're not. I mean, you're not Bran Stark anymore. That all can stay. Fine.
Yeah.
But let's have a little apology or something.
Right.
Anyway, she walks up. We don't see the scene. We don't see the conversation. We just know they're going to have one. Cat hole. Come on, man.
What are you doing?
Okay, so the next scene we completely made up.
Right.
We actually, you know, we're calling it a rewrite. So we're inserting a scene here. So we had the Jaime Bran scene. Mira comes up behind. We switch over to the crypts.
Yeah, so it cuts from her. We don't even need to hear what her and Bran talk about.
No,
Mira
we don't.
Bran.
We don't.
So once you see her get up close enough and they make eye contact, recognizes everything, then it cuts to the crypts.
So you go from daughter to father.
Yes.
And he's in the crypts. And basically what we have here is not specific wording, but... He's kind of talking to Ned. He's down in the crypts visiting Ned. They're longtime buddies. I mean, they're supposed to be, and that was the odd thing. I've never seen him, except in flashbacks. But then he turns to Lyanna and apologizes for not getting there sooner. And by, of course, he means the Tower of Joy. This cat is about to die.
What's wrong with this thing?
She knows her record, man. She has to. She absolutely does. Anyway, I'm sorry. Sorry, interrupted by the cat hole. So he's talking to Ned, the statue, kind of like John Wood, but, you know, it's been a long time, whatever, since he's been to Winterfell. Obviously, he never showed up for when Rob was king in the North, any of that stuff. He's down there talking to Ned, but he turns to Lyanna and kind of apologizes. Little flashback and rhyme with Robert in season 1-2, you know, as well, because
I was thinking that,
does rhyme with season 1 a little bit, but in a different way, obviously. God, this cat's crazy. And then he basically says, you know, we apologize for not getting there sooner, but now it's time. And, of course, we know what that's referring to because he can vouch for the child
that
was there at the Tower of Joy. So insert Hal and Reed scene there right after the Jaime Bran / Mira scene.
Yeah.
Then we go to Jaime and Brienne out in the battlements, outside of Winterfell. Everything stays the same. It's perfect. Nothing wrong with it at all. That's when he's saying... Look, I'm not the fighter I used to be, you know, type thing. So let me be under your command. And she accepts.
I love that scene.
It was a perfect scene. There's no reason to change it.
And she was like, well, you know, what's wrong with you? You're insulting me by now.
Do you want me to insult you? No. Then so it was a great scene. It
really was.
Sansa and Dany. So we added something here.
Well, there was another scene before that.
Oh, yes, yes.
Dany
right.
and Jorah. Where he tells her Tyrion's a good choice, which you mentioned earlier.
Right.
But it's that scene, and we liked it as well. You know?
It's fine. It kind of confirms what we were saying before where, I mean, you could say you could skip it because if we didn't have her kind of cussing him out that bad,
then
we're not saying don't do it. Just don't make it as harsh.
Right.
Is all we're saying.
Right, because we get the fact that Dany worries about Tyrion's family roots being deep or strong.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
Absolutely.
So she has to keep him in check and maybe feel him out at the same time. But she went overboard in that scene.
It was just way too, like, it was like a flip of the switch.
Yeah.
And I know she's on edge up here and all that, and I get that. So, yeah, you want that little bit of drama, but just not that. And that was just like overboard. Right. So, yeah, this thing can stand, or however that works in best for, you know, for that particular thing. We're going to focus on the big important stuff as opposed to actual lines for
that. Me, you know, for that scene, it does show that Jorah, you know, isn't overly jealous, and he's really cool.
He's actually been an advisor.
Yeah,
he's actually listening to things and paying attention. He knows what's going on, you know, and he's worried about her, and also at the same time respects him as the hand.
Yeah,
and he says that, you know, I was jealous, it about killed me type thing.
Right,
you know, so that can stay. I think that's fine. Then we had Sansa and Danny. So we did change something here.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they have this talk. It's a really good talk actually until the end when she starts. What about the North type thing?
Right.
So when she asked that, we're going to have a little, and I know they left it open to leave that tension there, but, you know, we have to break it and then build it back up and break it. You know, like, yeah. You know, you don't just leave it there all the time. So we had, at the end of this basic talk, when she starts asking about the North, you're just going to have to trust me. We have to take the throne first. Because, I mean, the idea is you have to root out the evil bitch in King's Landing first.
Right.
Before any of this can be discussed.
Right. And I even made a joke, like she'd say, you're putting the cart in front of the dragon.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly.
But honestly, think about that, guys. She's saying, you know, Sansa is still, you know, being enough Sansa by thinking about what about the North, you know?
Right, exactly.
And then she says, hey, I understand.
Yes.
But just trust me. Let me get the throne first. You know, I think that's great.
Just, you have to trust me. And there's a reason. It's not just for blind trust.
Right.
Because they had this talk about trust and John and who's getting manipulated by who, you know, type thing. It's a love thing. And so this will set up something down the road, obviously.
Yes.
So she adds basically the same conversation, but then we have to take the throne first. She still has her hands there. You will have to trust me.
I love it.
You know, that type of thing. She leans into her.
Yes.
Instead of this weird, awkward face.
Yeah, because she pulled back in that scene.
Yeah, like, she said, we always said we wouldn't kneel to anybody else and blah, blah, what about the North? And after that great conversation where they smiled and she kind of apologized for the way she acted when she showed up. So it was starting to change like we thought was supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Sorry, we got a cat hole. Anyway, so yes, that's going to set up something. Just trust me.
I love it.
Then we have John, Tormund, Sam, and Ed. They get back from something.
Yeah. Well, Theon walks up after.
Oh,
Danny
yeah,
and
yeah. That's the same. Yeah, yeah. That's the same. Yeah.
I'm doing was, you know, I think he skipped ones that we were just going to leave the same. Quick scenes. But yeah, so I got the Theon walks up, and I guess he says, you know, tells Danny what's up with his sister.
Yes, exactly.
And.
But this time, Sansa. Yeah, we should have mentioned that, actually, because we said that Yara's not just going to...
That's right.
He says, you know, in the actual episode, she's taking the Iron Islands back for you in your name.
Yeah.
But that don't even make any sense.
I know.
Because they agreed it would be hers. But she still agreed to help in the war, so he's going to say she's going back to rebuild there.
Yeah.
Just to add that little piece.
Right, I agree.
The rest of it can be the same. The idea is that he's back, he recognizes the queen... But also Sansa and him have long history and the Starks, and so the scene was fine. And the idea is that it lets Danny see that people really love her. That's fine. We'll get there.
Right.
So that can stay.
And then the next scene was Davos was out there serving food. And,
yeah.
And Gilly
stays
was talking,
the same, and, building up the attention. We're not soldiers. You know, you will be. You are now. And she says, I survived the Battle of the Bastards and Blackwater and all
this shit.
I love
that when he said
with
that.
With no fighting skill, by the way.
Yes.
He mentions that again later on the drinking scene. So
right.
Now we're at Tormund. Is
yeah,
that right?
Tormund. Yep.
So John. So Tormund shows up with Ed and the Night's Watch guys. And they're all having their reunion. That's basically the same. But this time, Howland Reed comes from the crypts where he just was. So we switch over from... So maybe the camera pans around and you see him coming from the crypts where just literally was in the scene before. As they're catching up, you know, how much time we got, what happened, what'd you find at the last hearth, they say he left another one of those damn symbols like he always does. Always the artist. Maybe repeat Mance Rayder's line
how
there.
Cool.
And Howland Reed comes from the crypts, as we just saw. He walks up behind him and says, what symbol? And so, let that sit there for a minute.
Yeah. This is going to be awesome.
Yes. And then, you know, basically, John, or you can have anyone you want because they were all there at some right. point. You could have John say he left this spiral thing at the Fist of the First Men. And you know, you could have Tormund say, "Yeah, we've seen it before up in, you know, up in the north, being wildlings, whatever."
And John says, "I saw it in the cave."
Exactly, we saw a lot of these same things down in the cave in Dragonstone. And when he says this spiral symbol, maybe he even leans down and kind of draws it in the snow, something just real, you know, just something to let him know exactly what it is, because he's like,
"Yeah."
Helen Reed is like, "Wait a minute, hold on, no, seriously, what symbol?"
Right.
You know, like serious about it, not just the throw-off thing. So, damn, cat hole. Anyway, they do that, and then he says, I know what it means.
Love it.
There you go. So we'll get back to that. We'll follow up on that. So Hal and Reed comes up in that scene. Same, other than that, it's the same. You know, we don't have much time. They're on the way. But he's not on the dragon, so maybe they have a little more time, you know, but he can tell them where they're at. Meanwhile, you can have Bran actually telling them.
Agree. I mean, yeah.
He can be doing something.
That's right.
He's going to be doing more, but, you know, in the meantime. Next was the war room, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So we had the war room. Bran says he'll come for me. He does say that, but Hal and Reed is in there now, and he says, Hal and Reed kind of interjects and says, well, he will on his way to a much bigger goal.
Right.
So this is going to start setting up some, oh, wait a minute, really? So Bran's not really right, you know,
right.
And it's kind of surprising to him.
And it's only because he hasn't looked at everything he needs to look at. You
exactly.
know what I mean?
They completely underutilize Bran this entire season.
Right.
So we're going to use him. So he
gets the right people around Bran to kind of push him in the right direction.
Yes.
And he'll tie up every loose end.
Like they completely told us was going to happen, essentially, right. in everything in foreshadowing. So basically at that point, they continue their planning, but we said the planning would be a little different.
Yes, we did.
There's no need for anybody to be outside these walls except two Dothraki battalions or whatever on either side. So they plan on these fire trenches.
Yes.
So their archers can take out most of the whites.
Yeah, and all those little obstacles with the glass.
Yes,
embedded
all that stuff.
Them.
Sure, fine. Have it all out there. Yeah. Make it hard for them to get to the walls. But the idea is archers first. Then they will have two Dothraki cavalries on. You know, because they're the cavalry on horseback, the only ones with horses. They're going to come from two flanks so they're going to be way out of sight.
Yes,
know? They're way out of sight, so all the whites can come funneling in. They're going to funnel them to the front of Winterfell, or I guess just, that's the back, the northern side of Winterfell.
Right.
With these fire trenches to stop them and slow them down so their archers can take care of most of them. And the idea is for when they need them, the cavalry can come in. So they're going to plan this
right.
a little differently.
Come
We're
on.
Not war experts.
No.
But we just got to acknowledge common sense.
Here. And, yeah, and we did talk about, so you got the archers and maybe use a dragon.
Yes.
An unmanned.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That's definitely the dragons.
Right.
I mean, you got dragons.
And so, you know, whatever's left that makes it there, then the cavalry comes around flanks on both sides.
Exactly.
You know, you don't need to lose all them running out into that darkness like
no,
that.
No, and I think that was supposed to be a kind of a oops mistake where they got pumped up and just went. But
yeah,
the idea for our battle, not being medieval battle experts.
No.
But is you have archer rank, you know, you have a volley, dragons come by. Volley, dragons come by. As they turn around, volley, dragons come by. And you just keep on not whittling down. And they go for the White Walkers. And we'll get all that in the battle stuff.
Yeah. But
the White Walkers, as we know, you kill the White Walker, and then you'll see groups of whites fall into.
Yeah, and
so.
I said this, and, you know, this is just a little thing that I think I would like to see is, you know, when the scene happens and you see the dead horse hoof come up and then it
yes.
pans up this dead horse and there's a White Walker sitting on it.
Yes.
And then more come up. I said, I would like to see, because Night King and ours, he doesn't have a dragon.
Yeah, he's on horseback.
So yep. yeah, I said it'd be cool to have him on one of those big dead polar bears or something.
Yeah.
Something
yeah.
different.
You could do the polar bear. You could do, because the War King in the picture on the World of Ice and Fire is on the back of a polar bear.
Oh, cool.
You could
yeah.
have, you know, ice spiders as
yeah.
big as hounds. And you
yeah.
can have all this stuff that you want from the books. It's fine.
Right.
You can have them,
A dead
a
dire
giant
wolf.
Mammoth. A gyre wolf. I mean, something cool.
Yeah.
Whatever. I mean, if you want to make him stand out, you know, like
yeah,
so, mammoth. He's on
we
a dragon,
talk about
obviously.
That too. Yeah.
So you got all these options. So yeah, have him on something cool, but he is on something's back.
Right.
He's not a dragon. He's not flying around.
Right.
In our story.
Yeah, in our story he's gonna be throwing frozen javelins, yeah. Not fire from a dead dragon above.
Exactly. He's gonna use ice powers. He's fucking Sub Zero, okay?
Yes,
that's where we're going.
That's right.
So they finish their battle plans. We talk about this in a more more logical way for what mm-hmm. we're talking about. And then you know, as Helen Reed just said that to Bran, he says, can you please come with me? We need to go to the Godswood.
Oh, yeah, jump the gun.
We need to go to the Godswood.
Yeah.
So that's the end of that scene. Everybody kind of disbands.
Right.
They don't have to explain everything right there, but Bran and Helen Reed go off on their own.
Yes.
As
yes.
opposed to just Tyrion sitting around talking to Bran.
Right.
We don't need that. In this scene, right, as they're dispersing, you know, Helen and them head out. Everybody kind of walks out. We added this part. John says to Sansa, have you seen Ghost?
Yes.
Because we're going to have some direwolf action up in here.
Yeah, and we actually even said maybe she said something about it's been a few days, something.
Yes. So you don't, you know, pick an answer. It's not, yeah. it just as long as it's set up, it, you know, you can
right.
have the dialogue you want. But yeah, he was here a few days ago, probably went to hunt.
Yes, he probably went hunting again or
but
something.
But it acknowledges
yeah.
he's here, and we're going to obviously use Ghost.
Yes.
So yes, he just asked about it. Because you don't come back and not ever ask about your dog.
No.
I mean, he should have been right there in the courtyard when you came up.
I agree.
But in this case, since they wasn't there, and we'll just have him off. Because he's always been off hunting. He's always done that.
Yeah.
Books and show.
Yeah.
So yeah, then we go to our I guess it's the drinking scenes, and so those are all perfect.
It.
We're not changing anything about Brienne. I mean, she got knighted. She is a knight of the Seven Kingdoms. That all stays the same. I think there's no reason. All that dialogue is great. It's funny. It's touching. It's moving. You're happy. You're sad. You're scared. All the emotions are there
yeah.
for all these scenes. They're all reminiscing. I think it was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bran scene was probably easily top three scenes in the whole show.
Yeah.
Of her getting knighted by
yeah,
Jaime.
I agree. And then when it's, you know, also panning out to the Hound and Arya out there talking.
Yeah,
I mean, switching,
top.
Not panning, but switching back and forth.
Right, right.
All those are great, you know.
Yeah, it's the perfect humor for him. He, you know, Barrett comes out and he threatens to throw him over the edge.
That was so
be careful,
awesome.
Thoros in here. That was so fun.
That was
and,
so
you know,
good.
And that's what's great. Barrett just smiles about it. He knows that's the way he shows his affection
right.
for friends and loved ones, so to speak. So, Jenny's song.
Yes.
Love Jenny's song. Jenny's song was outstanding. Have Pod singing Jenny's song. But what we're changing during this, we keep the little, because, you know, as they played the song, you had, you know, Sansa and Theon eating together and different couples. You had Arya and Gendry after
right.
post nut.
Yes.
you know, laying on the, I don't know, was it a sacks or a bed?
I don't know.
They were covered
up. It looks like sacks to me.
But they had covers.
Yeah.
So maybe they went up to the room. I don't know. So you have all that. And it always shows the dude passed out. I don't get it, man. I really don't. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he went three or four rounds. I'm not sure.
Yeah, we. In ours, he does.
Exactly. As a matter of fact, in ours, he's still up.
Yeah.
He's still like. Okay, so. During Jenny's song, you have those visions, as we said, that stay as far, or the, not the visions, but, you know, flashing around Winterfell, people doing their thing, getting their groove on, whatever it may be.
Right.
Yes, Gendry got, sorry. But anyway, so during Jenny's song, it continues a little longer. It don't have to be long because it's going to be very quick here.
Right.
We have Bran and Helen Reed in the Godswood. You see Bran's eyes do the thing, turn white, you know. And we see a collection. We see a collection of visions here. Another new set that he's going to have visions in this season.
Right.
And they're going to mean something. We have a collection of the symbols. So various symbols. Really quick flashes of the symbols we've seen in the very prologue, the first episode.
Right.
Fist of the First Men. The one at Last Hearth. They just saw
the wall in the caves. Everything.
All of those
it's
in
awesome.
The cave. You have all the symbols. You have the Night King dragon glass going in his chest. Really quick flash of that again.
Of him being made.
Of him being made, created, yes. Being created, yes. You have a bloody stomach.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Liana's, mm-hmm. I guess. You have fire moving across water.
Yes.
Just like imagine Blackwater Bay.
Right. That's
almost like the wildfire lights up and it mm-hmm. across the water. So you have fire going across water. Not really sure what that is yet. You have burned them all again. But this time, instead of just seeing the Mad King, you see Blood Raven.
Yes.
Now, I'd prefer them to show the old Blood Raven with the long silver hair. But that's fine. Max von Sydow, rest in peace, by the way.
Yes.
Have Blood Raven being seen while you hear burn them all as in the Mad King's voice.
Right. I love that.
You have a shot of the camera, you know, like kind of going into the crypts, but this time instead of just like, you know, the typical Liana Ned, it goes past them into the darkness further than you've seen before. So it's a shot. Just imagine that picture, that scene where here's Ned and Liana, and it just keeps going.
It just keeps going
into the darkness. And then we have Bran in reverse, falling reverse, like flying back up to the window.
Yeah,
and then
he wakes up out of it.
He comes out of it. That's the scenes. So do I need to repeat those?
One
I don't know.
One of my favorite scenes we've written.
Yes, this will mean a lot. Do I need to repeat those? I'm not sure.
You can do it real quick.
So, just in case you missed that. So during the song, Jenny's song, what that Pod is singing.
Because remember, they left the war room. He said, "Come with me, Bran."
Yes, they're out there. We see Bran and Howland reading the God's Eye. He goes into his thing, his morgue mode.
God's Wood.
did I say God's Eye?
Yeah.
God's Wood. Same thing. We see a collection of symbols.
Yes.
We see the Night King dragon glass in the chest really quickly. We see a bloody stomach. We see fire going across water. Think Blackwater Bay. We hear burn them all and see not only the Mad King, but also Blood Raven instead of the Mad King. We see the shot of the camera going past the Starks in the crypts that we know into the darkness. And then we see Bran in reverse going back up to the window, and then he comes out
Pops
of his
out of
morgue
it.
Mode. So there you go. Visions this time. We have visions.
We should have had them.
We should have had actual visions. We like visions. Then we go we're getting close to the end here actually already. John and Danny in the crypts. So this happens the same way, I think, basically. Yeah. We have the only thing we really wrote was he's in shock, obviously, and she's in shock because he's telling her now.
Yeah.
Shock, but less attitude is kind of the way you phrased it, because she has, and the idea is that there's a bigger plan here, and this is why, this will go into why she said, Sansa, you have to trust me now.
Yeah, because they built this up.
This big plan. She's got big plans. Hashtag big plans. She does, and it's going to include him, so she's not so defensive about it. Yeah, she needs to be in shock. She needs to go, oh, shit, you're the last Targaryen heir and all this kind of stuff as far as a male and blah, 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 but they're in this together.
Yeah, so this changes some things, but We're still a team.
Yeah, because we were still planning on doing all this together. We're in love now.
Mm-hmm.
So basically the same thing. It's just a little less, like you said, attitude and like, well, it makes you the last male, to the Iron Throne heir and all that stuff. So same basic idea, just, well, you know, and again, I'm not saying like instantly. You're going to have her like, because her whole life she thought she was the last, and she does have big plans, but they're different here.
Right.
And it can include him is the idea. Let's see. So we have Tyrion, the second to last scene. I think we're on the same page here.
Yes.
Tyrion looks out over at the night, same way it does. It pans out there and you see the darkness or whatever. And then this is when you see, I think, the Night King on whatever.
Well, yeah.
Where I jumped
the gun earlier. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have, and my pen stopped working. So Tyrion does that, but you see the Night King. This time you see the Night King as opposed to just the White Walker. So you still see the lion and scary and whatever, but he's on whatever he's on.
Yeah, right.
So if you like a bear, make it a bear.
Or
if you
big
like
ice spider.
Ice spiders as big as hounds.
Yeah.
Fine. Make it imposing just like it was, setting up the next episode. And then last scene for episode two, immediately after the scare of the Night King and all that stuff, cut back to Bran, still breathing heavily. It was a pretty intense session, mm-hmm. I guess you can call it. And he says, "The Isle of Faces," and it cuts to black. while Jenny's song starts to play as the right. credits roll.
The good, the, not the one Podrick's
the
singing.
Modern version. Yes. Yes, the modern version, as it did in the actual credits.
Right.
So Tyrion looks over. He sees the Night King. He's there, and the White Walkers, they've arrived. Bran wakes up at the same time, breathing heavily. Oh, the Isle of Faces. And cut to black, Jenny's song plays. And we're all going, holy shit, and we're going on a live stream.
Yes. Talking about the fucking new package of visions we've got exactly. to talk about.
Exactly. We got to something to dissect again, and what does that mean? What does it mean with the fire going across water? Why do we see Lyanna again with the bloody stomach, was it?
God, I'm so glad Helen showed up, you know?
Exactly. Finally. So... There's episode two.
Yeah.
That's it. The majority of it is the same, but those scenes are really, really important that we added and the lines that we added.
And the only thing, you mentioned something that evidently didn't make the final cut.
Oh.
But I remember you mentioned something that
I could have marked something out.
Maybe you had a reason for cutting it. I don't remember, but I remember you brought up a point when we were watching it that I thought was really cool, and it might have been the vision scene where you were saying... Because that would kind of show the importance of Craster's kids.
Oh, yeah. I just mentioned it's kind of a one-off, not really sure if you want to go
there. And I thought that was awesome. Right. I didn't.
But the idea was maybe during one of those visions, and we'll call it optional.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, because we don't want to explain everything.
Agreed.
So this is why I didn't really write it down. But the idea was during those visions, we see either, I mean, you can really take your pick. You can say Blood Raven. Cat hole
voted for Blood Raven.
Jesus. So we see Blood Raven or even Maester Aemon.
Yes.
I mean, I like both of these ideas that they were theories back in the day.
Yeah.
You see them with a woman and just in the flash, like a vision.
Right.
And what that's going to, now, again, that's optional. If you want to include it. But the idea is that at least it lets you know. And we never really get a real answer.
I agree.
But and the so vision
when
just
you
showing,
brought it up, I was like, this, yeah, we kind of did need a little payoff.
Yeah, a little possible payoff. Yeah. At least it'll have speculation behind it. We know that Blood Raven had a lover, or if it's Maester, I like kind of Maester Aemon, actually, because it explains the love, the child in your arms.
Mm-hmm.
But so I would pick Maester Aemon there, where we see him, you know, where you know it's him some in some way. I'm not saying in a sex scene or anything. I'm just saying, you know, with a woman that he obviously loves.
Yeah.
And the idea is that's Craster's parents.
Right.
So maybe he's up at White Tree Village or something and he's just with a woman. Just, you know, whatever. They're just laying there. I don't know. Whatever it may be. But something that points to possibly answering the idea of Craster and why his sons are able to be turned.
Yeah, exactly.
And not really ever answer it.
I love it.
So... Yeah, I mean, we could include that.
We could have included it, but still, it hit me when you were going through that, I was like, I know that he mentioned that, and I thought that was a good idea.
Yeah, and I guess I mentioned it after, but yeah, let us know actually in the comments if you like that. We'll make it official.
Yeah, yeah.
And next time,
I think that's a good idea.
I don't know if we'll ever answer it for sure.
Right. There are things you can leave, but at least touch on it again.
You want to touch on it. Yeah. Right. You want to at least just acknowledge that you know what the hell is in the story.
Because they were, you know? That makes, to me, you know, baby Sam.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Gives
him a little more heat, you know?
Right. The idea is that there are some other half Targaryens, and we don't need Targaryens.
I know.
We don't need any more secret Targaryens, but the idea is the blood special.
Right.
That's all. So
that's
yeah,
exactly right.
I don't think we'd ever really confirm it.
One thing else I'll say as far as Dany goes is, remember we saw her change from, you know, she didn't want to be her brother, throne thirsty.
Absolutely.
You know,
and then she got throne thirsty.
She did, man, and I don't like the way they wrote her.
But the thing,
I'm glad that we're saying. Yeah, she's human. She's not. Wonder Woman. So she is going to be aggravated a little bit. But
yes,
then quickly
she needs to be somewhat thirsty for the throne because she has a plan.
Yeah,
bigger than that is what we're saying.
Right.
So yes, she wants to get it, and she has to defeat Cersei and all that stuff. because you have to get rid of her to enact your plans.
You got to get it first.
So you still can be aggravated, Sansa. But she knows that the end game's different.
Right.
And so it's a huge difference. And those little subtle things in those scenes, that's what makes the difference in the character.
I want her to be more dealing with the fact that, okay, I'm in love and have had sex with somebody, my nephew,
Right, but love is like more important than that to me.
But I want that to affect her deeper than the fact that, oh, you're the heir,
Right.
And because that's the character that I have been led to believe she is.
Exactly, with her whole backstory. So we're completely team Danny here, just saying.
Yeah.
As far as, what they did to her character. And, it also, in that scene, we could have mentioned this too, in the crypt scene when she, responds with a little less attitude.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a relief to her to know that Rhaegar was, in fact, a good guy.
Wouldn't it? Because she brings up the fact.
She literally says, I was always told he was such a good guy, gave money to children and loved to sing, and he raped her, and it was like, no, he didn't. Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank God that he was the man that everybody said
said he was.
So don't acknowledge that at all, Danny, because, of course, she had to become thirsty.
Yes, she
did. They're all thirsty. So, anyway. That's episode two. What was the name of that episode? Did I even write that down?
It was Jenny's Song, wasn't it?
That's what it's called now. A Night of the Seven Kingdoms. I knew that.
Yeah, you told me that like three times the other night.
Exactly. Yes. So yeah, we're still keeping the name. That was one of the best scenes of all time, honestly. Yeah. So, that's it. That's season two, season eight, episode two.
That's a good episode. And so, like we talked about last week, was episode three is a lot of fighting.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to be interested to see what we do with that. And depending on what you feel like, we could have a 3-4 combo if we don't feel like we could get a whole episode out of episode three.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's essentially.
You don't want to do, and then she walked around the corner. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, right. Yeah, because we can't. There's just so much going on. It's almost like it could be very quick too, except for like the scenes you need to mention. Because otherwise, it's going to be bloodbath.
That's what I'm saying. It could be where we get three out of the way in 15 minutes, and then we spend 45 minutes talking about episode four.
Yeah, we'll just see what happens.
You're right. We'll see. Promises.
We're just going as with the flow. Yeah. So we're going to build off this stuff here. So. Is that it? Anything else? I think that's good.
I think
that sets up a lot, and I know a lot of people know what's coming.
Oh yeah,
but we're gonna set it up. Try to set it up properly with what we have, with their framework.
I will bet you this, and you tell me if you think I'm wrong. I'll bet you, if you like what we're doing, those of you who've said I've refused to go back and watch the season.
Oh yeah,
we'll go back and watch it. And appreciate it, because I'm already two in, and I'm like, I like this better than I did last year, watched it.
Yeah, I mean,
because of what we're doing with it.
And I think your idea is great. I think if you watch this, if you listen to the podcast or have YouTube up or whatever you're listening to it on,
yeah,
with the actual episode and pause it and picture that scene and it's right there, it's almost like it happened.
Yeah, and you don't hate it as much. It's like it really is happening.
It might help with the burn a little.
I hope so.
That we're still all
feeling. We do this justice in the end.
Yeah.
Because as of right now, I have high hopes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, technically, we could just, pull up Dragon Raised by Wolves and, rehash it. But, we're going to make it fit is what we're saying. That's what we're going to try.
We're going to take what they gave us visually and put our story right there with it.
Right.
It's going to be awesome.
So, hopefully you guys are digging this. Let us know in the comments below. Again, huge favor if you're watching this on YouTube. Leave us a comments on YouTube. Please like the video. Let the algorithm know you like it. Watch as much as you can. I know people can't watch an hour a lot of times or close to it. This is probably about, I'm guessing, 45 minutes for this one, because we don't have to explain every time now.
That's right.
Anyway, let us know what you think. I guess that's it.
Go to sleep watching it.
Yeah, there you go. With the playlist on.
Yes, do that.
There you go.
We appreciate it.
Put on the playlist that's got all 500-something videos and let it play all night. That'll help a lot.
We sure appreciate it, guys.
Yes.
I can't wait to see what you think about you know, the specific question, and then just what we're doing in general, because you seem to like last episode, so I'm really
and
excited.
And I guess we'll, unless there's something big that comes up as far as, you know, we may have other podcasts mixed in between these. Either way, we're going to do six episodes for this, at
least. That's right.
And again, maybe five. It depends on how it works out with the, because episode three may be very short.
It could be.
It could be a short 15-minute
Although we
talk.
Do have plans.
We do. Yeah. We do. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see what happens, but. Anyway, thank you so much for watching. Let us know what you think, and we'll let it
fade to black.
Awesome. Dude, it fires me fucking up, don't it, you?
It does. 'Cause I can
it makes me like that.